This is the State of Things live from the North Carolina Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stacio, and you can watch a live stream of our show today at our website, stateofthings.org. Big night around the world of bluegrass last night right here in Raleigh. The International Bluegrass Music Association held its annual award ceremony.
The winner is the Earls of Leicester. Yes.
Yeah, in fact, the Earls of Leicester took home 4 awards last night, and the IBMA celebrated longtime bluegrass legends like Bill Keith and Larry Sparks, who were inducted into the Hall of Fame. It recognized the distinguished achievements of musicians like Alison Brown, who founded Compass Records, and Steve Martin, who's a well-known comedian and a banjo player. Ned Lebrecki is a banjo player who hosts a bluegrass music show on Sirius XM's Bluegrass Junction. He also emceed last night's awards. Ned, welcome to the State of Things. Good to have you here.
Well, thank you for having me.
What a pleasure. And joining us is fiddler and songwriter Becky Buller. She co-hosts Thunder Radio's Bluegrass Crossroads and took home 3 of her own awards last night at the IBMA awards ceremony. Becky, welcome and congratulations.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, it's good to have you. Let's start with the Earls of Leicester. Took 4 awards last night.
It seemed like so many more than that.
well, there's a lot of them.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
So
yeah.
Tell us about them. I mean, their album is kind of a tribute to Lester Flatt and Earl Scruggs, right?
Yeah, they're basically a Flatt and Scruggs cover band. They even dress like them.
I've been waiting for them to work up some new material, but they haven't done anything new since the 50s, really.
Well, but is that the thing? I mean, if
it's
you're going to be
though.
The Bluegrass Music Awards, then all of the great varieties and the dynamics that have grown from bluegrass. Is that true? I mean, they're not going to win the award. Like, you've got to be more like Flatt and Scruggs. You're going to sound like Bill Monroe, Earl Stanley.
Not necessarily. But those guys just did such a great job of paying homage to Flatt and Scruggs. And they made a great record, and it's done really well for them. Lots of airplay this year.
They made a great record, and they're also a band of all-stars with Tim O'Brien and Jerry Douglas and Charlie Cushman on the banjo. And so Sean Camp. And so they not only made a great tribute album, but when they do the show, they also wear the old-time costumes. You know, they kind of look like an old Flatt and Scruggs show. And because of the all-star cast and because they were so good at it, it did make a really entertaining show. They really are a lot of fun to watch.
But we've got some great new groups that made took home a bunch of awards last night, like Balsam Range, who are going to be with us in just a little bit.
Hardly new to this audience, but I know what you mean. I take your
point.
Sticking with the Earls of Leicester for just a second, we talked about their great bluegrass music and the fact that they sound an awful lot like and made a great tribute album, but they also won Gospel Record Performance of the Year for this song, Who Will Sing For Me? Leicester took home 4 IBMA awards, including 1 for Gospel Performance of the Year with that song. Earls of Leicester got a Grammy for Best Bluegrass Album as well. Why do you think their music, Ned, do you think is striking such a chord? I mean, I guess you said part of it is that it's the performance and the fact that they're making this.
Well, and I think they get a lot of recognition because of who they are, Sean Camp is a great singer and a really
well-known songwriter.
Yes. So a lot of people knew about the band because of him. And, of course, Jerry Douglas is he's the guy that in modern times has really reinvented his instrument. I mean, Jerry Douglas has won the Country Music Association's Musician of the Year so many times. And back in the 80s and 90s, there wasn't a pop country record that came out that Jerry Douglas didn't play on. So he's extremely well-known as a musician. And so when he decided to kind of gather these guys together and put that together, it brought a lot of attention to the band because of that. But they do it really well. I mean, they're a terrific bunch of musicians, and they've been putting on a great show. So,
Becky, any surprises last night?
Yeah, I won some awards.
You got 3. 2 of your own. You kind of shared one.
Yeah, recorded event of the year for Southern Flavor, which we'll play for you in just a little bit. Yeah. And that was so exciting. Of all the awards that I was nominated for, I was really hoping that Southern Flavor would take home either Song of the Year or recorded event, because that was just such a seminal recording. We don't as far
well,
as
tell us about it because
well,
I don't think everybody knows
yeah
what that,
as far as we know nobody has ever gotten the Bluegrass Boys back together to record a Bill Monroe song with new lyrics that Bill Monroe approved. We don't know that anybody's done that before, so mm-hmm. it was really cool. Southern Flavor started out life as an instrumental. Was the title cut of Bill Monroe's 1988 album that went on to win the first Bluegrass Grammy in 1989. And we have had three of the guys that were on that original recording that played with me on our version. That was Blake Williams on the banjo, Michael Fagan on the fiddle, and Buddy Spiker on the fiddle. And we also had Peter Rowan on the guitar and the duet with me, and Roland White on the mandolin, Ernie Sykes on the bass. And then the lyrics were written by Guy Stevenson, who's 86 years old. He played bass for Monroe back in 73. He can be heard on the Bean Blossom album, a very seminal album in bluegrass music. I was just excited for Guy, 86 years old, and winning, you know, getting that and getting to be up there and just getting that recognition for his songwriting. He's a treasure.
Let's talk about another honor last night. Steve Martin, Ned, honored with a Distinguished Achievement Award, of course, known as a comedian, but also a great banjo player who's brought a lot of attention to.
Indeed, and it's I've really had the pleasure a couple of times to get to be around Steve. Actually got to perform with him once or twice, and I think it surprised him the very first time when I told him that he was one of my early influences on the banjo. I started playing the banjo in the late 1970s, and like any kid my age, I had those Steve Martin comedy records, which were always so funny, and I really liked his banjo playing on there, and so it got me into playing the banjo. And it was a few years later that got into maybe playing a couple different bands and sort of went back and got those out. And I thought, well, now that I know something about it, I mean, you're impressionable as a kid. You just hear this guy that you really admire play and think he's pretty good. So after I'd learned a little bit, I went back and listened again. And he's a really good musician. Steve has really great musical talent. He's just a really talented guy anyway, I think. And so I think it was surprising to him to think that he really did have a musical influence on people. And now he sort of embraces that, and that he's come up with that Steve Martin Prize that he hands out annually to different banjo players. And it's his way of trying to show people that, well, the banjo can be a very serious musical instrument, and there are some great artists out there that play it. So because of all those things, I think, yeah, Steve is well deserving of an award like that.
Well, here he is with the Steep Canyon Rangers.
Saw a girl at a picture show, walked right up and said hello. Seemed to me like a girl in need. I'm a guy who's built for speed. You and me could have some fun, you pretty little one. Took her riding around the town. Ain't no woman ever shut me down. Ever seen a truck like this? How about a little kiss, you pretty little one?
Steve Martin and the Steep Canyon Rangers playing Pretty Little One. Steve Martin was honored with the Distinguished Achievement Award last night at the IBMA Award Show. Becky, let's talk. We don't have too much time, but maybe you could tell us a little bit about two Hall of Fame inductees, Bill Keith. Let's start with Bill Keith.
Oh, that was just a sweet time in the middle of the award show when Bill Keith and Larry Sparks were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Bluegrass Hall of Fame is up in Owensboro, Kentucky at the International Bluegrass Music Museum. And it's a great place to go visit. If you're ever up that way, you need to check it out. And they're about to break ground on a beautiful new building. But I am a huge fan of both of these guys, and especially Larry Sparks.
Well, let's take a listen. Bill, here's a sample of Bill Keith's music, who was honored last night. That's Bill Keith. As a guy who loves this music, and I love the banjo, I love a good banjo joke, but I love the banjo. But as someone who loves the music but can't really, is not a critical listener, what am I hearing there? What distinguishes his playing?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that Bill, back in the 60s, kind of came up with a style of playing the banjo that was a little different than what Earl Scruggs and the other typical players were playing, and it was a way of being able to play scale lines and things like a fiddle player would play. So he came up with a way of being able to play note for note the way fiddle players could do. It got to be known as something called the melodic style, which is kind of a funny name to call it, but it created a new style. And Bill Monroe really appreciated that about it, really liked the fact that Bill could do it. But another thing that was actually pretty much typified by what you just played there, Earl Scruggs back in the 50s invented a special kind of tuner that he put on his banjo where he could detune one string at a time, and it worked on just a couple of strings, and it involved drilling some holes in the banjo peg head and kind of where it made it sound like a pedal steel. Well, Bill Keith engineered a tuning machine because other than a musician, Bill is also a pretty talented engineer. He invented a style of tuner that would all work in like a regular banjo tuner but has these little stops on it so that you could detune. And that tune, the way you were hearing him play it right there, he didn't fret any of the notes. Everything was done by tuning, and those tuners were an invention of Bill Keith and another guy, and he still sells those tuners today and makes them. He was the guy that built all of them.
I'll tell you what, we're going to take a little break right now and come back and listen to some music. That is banjo player Ned Labrecki. He's the host of Derailed, a bluegrass music show on Sirius XM's Bluegrass Junction. Becky Buller's with us. She's a fiddler and a songwriter and co-host Thunder Radio's Bluegrass Crossroads. Took home 3 awards last night from the IBMA Awards. Both of them are going to stay with us. We're going to hear more about Becky Buller and her band and the awards as well, and more music on the state of things. Also, we've got Balsam Range lined up. They're going to be on the show a little bit later. You are listening to the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio. It's a broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Here's the Becky Buller Band. This is the State of Things, broadcasting from the Museum of Natural Sciences in downtown Raleigh. I'm Frank Stasio. We're live streaming, and you can see that at our website, stateofthings.org. Becky Buller has tried her hand at almost every part of the bluegrass music industry. She is a prolific songwriter whose compositions have been recorded by legendary musicians, including Ricky Skaggs. She produced and toured with Grammy nominee Valerie Smith, and she released 2 solo records. This year, she's trying something new and hitting the road with her own band. Her work was recognized last night at the IBMA Awards. She took home Emerging Artist of the Year, Bluegrass Songwriter of the Year, and was part of the team that recorded Event of the Year for Southern Flavor. She and her band are playing tonight at the California Bluegrass Association Suite in the Marriott, room 305, apparently just left of the restaurant. I don't know. You're going to be in that room.
Yeah.
Room 305, and that's sometime tonight. Tomorrow you're going to be at the Convention Center, 11 o'clock. And the whole band is here, part of it, Becky Buller Band on vocals and fiddle with Clawhammer Banjo, Ned Labrecki on the banjo. Stephen Mogin on the guitar and vocals, Dan Boner on mandolin, fiddle, and vocals, Tim Surratt. Tim, do you go by Surratt or is it Surratt? That's what I thought. Tim Surratt is on the bass, and Buddy Melton is on the vocals and the mandolin as well. Welcome to all of you. That's a lot of people. How'd you all get in here? Becky,
just barely.
You had quite a night last night. Songwriter of the Year, Emerging Artist of the Year. And that's kind of great. Congratulations. And then, of course, that song that you talked about, Southern Flavor.
Yes,
and all that together.
Yes, that was one of those things where even a blind hog gets an acorn sometimes.
You have been doing this for a long time. You picked up colorful sayings like that from the age of 12 when you started coming to IBMA, right?
close to it. I was actually 15 or 16 at my first IBMA. It was in Owensboro, Kentucky. And Cold Virginia Night won Song of the Year. I was so excited. I love that song. Ronnie Bowman recorded it. And it changed my life getting to go that week. And they let me out of school for it. My school principal let me out, said, I think this will be a good thing for you.
Did you grow up listening to Colorful Mountain Sings in the wilds of Minnesota where you grew up?
No, you know, my mom has all sorts of crazy sayings like, you know, ain't that a kick in the head? And go away. Don't go away mad. Just go away.
Just go away.
I could think of some better ones if I had a minute, but I'm not exactly awake. It's been a pretty crazy week.
Plus, your mom is listening, and she might be
probably
offended.
Yeah. Sorry, Mom.
Tell us more about Southern Flavor now, because I know you're going to play that in just a second. But tell us more about that song.
Yeah, as I mentioned before, this was the title cut of Bill Monroe's 1988 album that went on to win the very first Bluegrass Grammy in 1989. Of course, Bill Monroe is the father of bluegrass music, and not long after that win, he was out at a festival in Missouri, and he ran into a former bass player of his, Guy Stevenson. And Guy played for Monroe back in 73, and they remained great friends until Bill's death. But Guy's a great songwriter, and Bill asked Guy to write lyrics to this melody about Southern things. So, of course, Guy got right on it with his friend Duane Mize, and they came up with these lyrics, and Monroe really liked them but didn't get a chance to re-record them because he passed away in 96. So they just sat around until I ran into Guy a few years ago, and he said, "Hey, why don't you record this?" And I'm so glad it was available when I finally got back in the studio to record for Dark Shadow Recording. Stephen Mogin, who's here with us, is my producer, and he owns the record label. He's also a member of the Sam Bush Band, and he's going to be playing at Wide Open today or Saturday night. And the show will go on. We're having a big old bluegrass hurricane party in Raleigh, here in Raleigh, at the Convention Center. It's all moved indoors. Y'all come out.
We will. You know, it's too bad about the rain, but it's a great festival. Great to have you here, and I wonder if you'd play Southern Flavor for us now.
We would love to. And I'm just really excited to have Buddy Melton and Tim Surratt from Balsam Range helping us out today.
Double shovels, corn blowing in the breeze, cotton growing down on the delta. Dixie, I hear you calling me.
Lord, I love that Southern flavor, heart and soul and hospitality.
I've tasted life this wide world over,
but no place ever meant as much to me.
Sunday morning, a country boy down on his knees.
Lord, I love that Southern flavor, heart and soul and hospitality.
I've tasted life this wide world over,
but no place ever meant as much to me. Lord, I love that Southern flavor, heart and soul and hospitality.
I've tasted life this wild world over,
but no place ever meant as much to me.
Becky Buller and the band playing the song Southern Flavor. That was part of the recorded event that was honored at last night's IBM Awards show. You can see him perform tomorrow in room 305 and also at the Raleigh Convention Center at 11 o'clock. What a great song.
Yeah.
It sounded so great. And of course,
simple, but it's beautiful.
Well, you know, simple but beautiful describes this music in a way that I wish we could properly convey, and I don't even think it happens. It only happens on the stage. It only happens when you're at a performance, quite honestly. I'm happy to put you on the radio, and we're live streaming at stateofthings.org. But maybe I'll talk about that. And, Stephen, I might even ask you to step up to the mic because you've got a record company, right? Simple, you're all really essentially around one mic. You're weaving in and out. You duck back when away from the mic when it's time for somebody else to take a solo. You've got a record company. Obviously, musicianship really counts. If you don't know what you're doing, there's not a lot of electronics. It's going to save these musicians, right?
That's the absolute truth. That's the beautiful thing and scary thing about bluegrass music and the acoustic music that we all love. There's such a high level of musicianship around us. Not only do people are people exceptional players, they're exceptional singers, and you have to do both.
Yeah.
And you have to be very cognizant of what everyone else is doing, and like you said, working in and out of the mic. Even when you're sitting in a studio setting or jamming or whatever, making sure there's space for the important moment of the song at any given moment, it's quite a spectacular thing.
And developing an ear for those harmonics and those ethereal things that we can't see, but you have to be able to hear. It's notes and sounds that you're creating just by being together, right?
Absolutely, and that's a really fun part about what we do. You'll see over at the convention center today, there'll be pop-up jams, people just running into each other and picking a bunch of tunes. We have a large catalog of bluegrass vocabulary at this point, and folks just like to get together and pick and jam out, and that's a spectacular thing.
You talked me into it. Will you do another song? I'd love to hear some more.
Sure. Can I tell everybody about this tune?
Sure.
I wrote this one. I wrote this one not long after my husband and I started dating. It's one of those. Sometimes you really work on a song for a long time. Sometimes a song just kind of falls out of your head, and there it is. It's like your subconscious is trying to tell you something. And basically, I was like, "Yeah, I think I'm going to marry him." But then it took him took about 2 years to finally ask me. But we actually got engaged at the radio station. We were doing a bluegrass Valentine show, and these guys behind me can know how scary that can be, you know, because
especially with stuff falling out of your head.
Right. That's well, right. There's that. Yeah. Yeah. We better just play this. It's called Home. 2, 3, 4. Like I've put 100,000 miles on this soul of mine. It's been an uphill climb all the way, 'cause I've been one to dead end in the night. Letting my wheels spin, well, the one I wanted to win, something better was waiting for me at home. Holding you feels like coming home. Start of forevermore. Holding you feels like coming home. My gypsy ways are catching up with me, starting to drag me down. Another night, another town is not enough to satisfy an even deeper need. Been there all along, want somewhere to belong and someone who loves me. Calling me to come back home. Holding you feels like coming home to a place I've only known is my heart. Darned forevermore. Holding you feels like coming home.
how we were meant to build a home. Holding you feels like coming home to a place I've only known in my heart of hearts. Could this be the start of forevermore? Holding you feels like coming home. Holding you feels like coming home to a place I've only known in my heart of hearts. Could this be the start of forevermore? Holding you feels like coming home.
Becky Buller Band playing a song she wrote, Home. Becky took home three IBM awards last night, including Songwriter of the Year. Becky, as I look at you and the band standing before me, I am reminded that bluegrass is really a lot of guys, basically, playing together. And I wonder what it's like to be a woman in this industry.
You know, when bluegrass first got going, it just, you know, there weren't a lot of women out there on the road. It was more the women's place to be in the home, and you know, Sally Ann Forrest, who was the first bluegrass girl back in the 40s, and my dad would say that was Bill Monroe's contribution to the war effort, because her husband Howdy Forrester got drafted, and I guess, you know, then she took his place playing accordion, actually, with the bluegrass boys. But, you know, in getting ready for this interview, Anita asked me about, you know, what's been my experience. And I honestly, I've had it really easy, because I stand on the shoulders of some incredible women who have paved the way. Lori Lewis, Kathy Kallick, Allison Krauss, Claire Lynch, Valerie Smith, Dale Ann Bradley, all those gals, you know, coming up, the new Coon Creek girls. Just so many women that have paved the way so that I can have it easy. I've always been just treated like one of the pickers, and that's the way I want to be treated. I'm just one of the musicians.
Yes, dear.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hey, I wonder, we're running short. Can I ask you to play another real quick one for us?
Yes,
another short
we'll
tune
do
right
it.
Now.
Okay, we're gonna play you a song about a gal from Harlan County, Kentucky. And actually, if you Google Queen of the Mountain Bootleggers, the first thing that comes up is an NPR story when Maggie Bailey passed away. Her lawyer did an interview on NPR, and y'all got to check that out. But this is called Queen of the Mountain Bootleggers. 2, 3, 4. All of Harlan County knew Maggie Bailey's occupation, how she sold and sometimes brewed unlawful libations. East Kentucky poverty, along with prohibition, and several younger mouths to feed, encouraged her decision. She was the queen of the mountain bootleggers, and bless her heart, she's gone, long gone. Lord, we love her still. Only once in 41 did the jury find her guilty. 150 half gallons put her in the penitentiary. 2 years later, Mag came home. Clovertown's glad to see her. She proved herself an expert on the laws of search and seizure. She was the queen of the mountain bootleggers. Bless her heart, she's gone, long gone. Lord, we love her still, all time. Friends and neighbors put several other kids through school with the fruits of her labor. Never drank a drop herself, wouldn't sell to kids or drunkards. Politicians sought her hell, 'cause everybody loved her. She was the queen of the mountain bootleggers. Bless her heart, she's gone, long gone.
Lord, we love her still. Mag retired in 95, content where life had led her. Swore till the day she died, I'm glad I'm just a good old-fashioned bootlegger. She was the queen of the mountain bootleggers, and bless her heart, she's gone, long gone. Lord, we love her still. She was the queen of the mountain bootlegger, bless her heart, she's gone, long gone.
The Becky Buller Band. Becky Buller, Ned Labrecki, Stephen Mogin, Dan Boner, Tim Surratt, and Buddy Melton here. You can see Becky and the band at the Raleigh Convention Center tomorrow at 11. Coming up, more IBMA winners, Balsam Range on the State of Things. Stay tuned.
There's a moon over.